More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the same old song. Are you and someone you care about stuck repeating the same arguments again and again? We're going to help you break the cycle. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the same old song. We're talking about conflict. In particular, those arguments that you keep having over and over with that one person, or maybe many persons. The fact is we've all got certain issues that can be hard to resolve with our spouse, with our younger or adult children, with our parents or siblings. You know, certain things we just can't seem to see eye to eye about, and sometimes we can just sort of work around them, and other times they color the whole relationship. Either way, we want to help you address those tendencies to sing that same old argumentative song. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think a lot of people may have said, same old song. Songs are nice. The arguments aren't. But I'm thinking about the earworm songs that get in our heads. Maybe it's a song from our childhood or something that somebody used on like an ad and it's stuck there and we can't get it out of our heads. And it irritates us. Maybe we're not enjoying that song very much. It irritates us, but we can't get it out of our head. And that's what these repetitive arguments can often feel like, because we never really come to a resolve. It's always floating back there. I would be happy if, fill in the blank, if my spouse handled money differently, if they agreed with me on parenting. I would be happy if my mother-in-law would stop nagging me about this thing. I would be happy if my friend and I could agree on politics. I would be happy if my siblings included me in the life of our family life and parents. It goes on and on and on. And because there's no resolve, it feels like that irritating earworm song that no matter what you do, you end up coming back to humming whether you want to or not.
No, we argue do. No, we argue
you're vicious.
877.
Oh, you're vicious.
573-7825. Today's show title. Hey now. Hey.
Hey, Eric hit that button. Eric is a father of young children. He has a right to boo that, because that really probably gave him that song in his head the whole day long.
Well, good. He deserves it after that. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Same Old Song. As we talk, we're gonna have some conflict with Eric here coming up. But same old song. We're talking about those times when you and someone you care about are stuck having those same arguments on repeat. 877-573-7825.
And of course, we're not just asking you to tell us about your arguments, but we're really here to help you break that cycle, get that earworm of an argument out of your head, out of your relationships, and come to authentic peace in it, where you're not giving up your values, but you're coming to a place where you can heal those relationships and still hold on to who you are and what you believe. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Tell us, are you tired of having the same argument with somebody? You know, is there just some issue that you and that person can't see eye to eye on? You know, maybe you and your spouse keep arguing about a particular issue. In fact, research shows that happy couples and unhappy couples have about the same success rate in terms of solving marital disputes. But what makes happy couples better is that they approach those disputes in a different, healthier way. We can talk about how to do that. Or maybe it's you and your kids who can't agree about the rules or expectations or values. Maybe you and your parent or sibling or friend are at odds about something. It could be a singular issue that you've gotten pretty good at avoiding, even though you know it's always there. Or maybe it's begun to color your whole relationship. However those repetitive conflicts and disagreements are affecting your life, we want to help you work toward real peace. 877-573-7825. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you might be reasonably wondering, how could some theology help me deal better with repetitive arguments? And it turns out theology of the body has a lot to say about it, because when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge and really important question. He wanted to know, what would it look like for the Catholic person to thrive? What would it look like for Catholics to celebrate truly healthy and holy relationships? And his answer to that question, or those questions, became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body tells us that every person is created as a unique and unrepeatable person. Before the fall, people saw each other's differences as a gift. Each person reflected a different facet of the face of God. We weren't made different from each other. We were made different for each other. But after the fall, people perceived each other's differences as a threat. We became afraid that if we attended to the other person's different needs, opinions, or goals, we wouldn't be able to attend to our own.
And of course, things spiraled out of control until we ended up with the Tower of Babel, right? And we tend now to have the same disagreements over and over again because we keep trying to solve the problems the same way, by changing the other person. You know, the theology of the body calls that reactivity. And reactivity says that the problem is out there, in them. And if they would just get in line, the argument song would finally stop. So we push harder and they push back, and same verse, same chorus, every single time.
The way out isn't a better argument. It's a different posture. Theology of the body calls it receptivity. Instead of asking, how do I get them to change? Receptivity asks, Lord, how can I respond to this so that it brings out the best in both of us? You stop treating the other person's differences as a threat and start asking how you could work together with God to find solutions that meet everyone's needs. 9 times out of 10, the person you're fighting isn't trying to be difficult. They're trying to protect something that matters to them.
Of course, temptation when we hear that is to say, well, so this is all on me? You know, they get to keep doing what they're doing? Well, no. You know, receptivity isn't surrender. It's the one move that actually has some power, because it's the only part of that cyclical argument that we can control. You know, when we change our step, the whole dance has to change too. We can bring the conflict to God. We can assume the best about the other person, even when it's hard. And we can keep insisting that we need to work together to find solutions that meet everyone's needs. The same old argumentative song can become a new song about mutual respect and generosity if somebody has the courage to change the tune first. And we'd invite that to be you, since you're tuning in today on More to Life. Let us help you do it. 877-573-7825.
But if this sounds difficult, if this sounds like you don't know the language of this at all, that makes sense. We're all sort of raised in this idea of everything in life is a battle, and somebody has to win the hill, and somebody has to lose. This theology of the body perspective is very different from that worldly idea, and we can help you bring it into those relationships that you want to heal today, or especially just stop having those arguments with. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. We bring to you those conflicts that we have with the people that we care about, whether that's our spouse, a friend, our children, whether those are young children or adult children, parent, family member, our relationships are filled with disagreements and conflicts, things that are hard to see eye to eye around. And we often try to work it out by just tiptoeing around those things and avoiding the problems. But Lord, you would give us the grace so that we could overcome those challenges, those obstacles to unity. You remind us through your servant, St. John Paul, that building the kingdom of God means working to heal the damage that sin has done and tries to do to all of our relationships. And these differences, these disagreements are part of that fallout. So we ask you, Lord, to give us the grace, the wisdom, the compassion, the persistence that we need to face those disagreements in a new way that allow us to build communion through communication and enable us to build your kingdom by working through those differences. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled The Same Old Song, as we talk about conflict and those times that we especially are getting involved in repetitive disagreements or the same argument over and over again with that particular person in our life. How do we get past those disagreements and come to a place where we can be true peacemakers? 877-573-7825.
Well, Dan from Pennsylvania has a question for us. He says, my brother and I are barely speaking anymore because every phone call turns into the same blow-up about how our dad's estate was handled. It's been going on for so long that I'm starting to wonder if the argument even matters anymore, or if we've both just gotten used to being angry. I'd like to have my brother back, but I don't know how to bring it up without landing right back in the same fight. Where do I even start when 3 years of the same argument have made us both dig in?
Well, Danny, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, this is a very painful and very common issue, unfortunately, because arguments about inheritance and estate issues have little to do, really, with the practical aspects of, you know, what who gets what, and a whole lot more to do with who did mom or dad love better.
It's who did mom or dad love better. It's also grief. And when those two things combine, childhood memories, issues that happened throughout the entire time you were growing up, where somehow each one of you feels like you got the short end of the stick throughout life, and then all of a sudden you're seeing it in the estate situation, and just the raw grief of losing a parent. And often as adults, we feel almost silly grieving a parent because we think, well, I had them my whole childhood. You know, I'm an adult now. I shouldn't feel this way. And all of us have a hard time dealing with grief. There's very little support for grief out there, just in the general world. You mix all that up, and it gets very, very difficult to deal with very fast. So we pick on something we think we can handle, which is the money or the estate situation or what we got out of it.
Well, and the fact is, it's easier to feel angry than it is to feel grief.
Absolutely.
You know, and we would rather, in many ways, feel angry than grieve, because anger at least feels like it's something we could do something about.
Exactly.
You know, I can come to you and I can yell at you and I can demand my share of the whatever, and, you know, I can focus on that, but I can't get my parent back. You know, and I don't want to think about that. So I'd rather fight with you than feel that loss. And so that tends to be a way that people deal with grief, unfortunately. And so the best thing you can do, Danny, actually, there are two things. You can't make the relationship work. And I want to, for want of a better way to put it, I want to absolve you from the feeling that it's your job to make that relationship work on your own. Because we a lot of times as Christians feel like, you know, if somebody's mad at us, it's on us to make that right. And it is on us to take the responsibility to make those steps that make reconciliation possible. But it's not on us to make that reconciliation happen on our own power, because not even God can do that. You know, God holds the door open to heaven, but he gives us the choice to walk through it. He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming in, because then that wouldn't be love, right? he has done everything and more that he could possibly do to make it possible for us to spend eternity with him. But we still have to choose the relationship. And the same thing is true with you and your brother. You can do everything that you can reasonably do to make reconciliation possible, but you can't make the relationship work on your own. So what is it that you can reasonably do? I think the step one is to really kind of pray about, are there any concessions, practical concessions, that you can make that would mean something to your brother? I'm not saying that it would be right for you to do so, or just for you to do so, or fair for you to do so. I'm just asking you to, I'm not asking you to cut your own throat. If you got something that you need or that is deeply personal or meaningful, by all means, that is your right to hold on to it. But I'm asking you to pray about, are there any concessions that you could reasonably make that would mean something to your brother? Decide that on your own first. And if so, make those concessions. The second thing, you know, try to be as generous as you reasonably can. Reasonably can. You don't have to give away the farm, so to speak. But especially
if it's literally the farm.
Yeah. Secondly, though, I think it's important to make the implicit explicit. What I mean by that, there are two things I mean by that. First of all, at a time, say before you start arguing about this stuff, the next time you try to reach out to your brother, I'd like you to start the conversation by saying, hey, look, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff we disagree about with the inheritance and everything around Dad and everything. And we can keep talking about that, but I want you to know that I love you, and I'd like to find some way to get past it for us to be able to have a relationship. And if you're open to that, you know, let me know, because I'd really like that, and I miss you. So just stating that up front is important, and extending that invitation. The second thing that means is that when conversations start to devolve, into the old argument about things, you want to make the implicit explicit by saying, hey, look, I see us going down that same road again. And we can do that if you really want to. But I feel like this is really well-traveled territory, and I don't think it's going to benefit us to go down it one more time. You know, is it okay for us to change the subject and get back on track, or do we need to have this discussion? Make it explicit so that you guys can actually choose what you want to do with that conversation. And from that, you can learn whether he's in a place where he's able to reconcile with you. At that point, you've done all the things that anybody, especially God or the church, could ask you to do to make reconciliation with your brother possible. You can't make him walk through that door. And at that point, if he doesn't accept the invitation, then you can set whatever boundaries you need to set to, you know, allow the possibility for reconciliation, but still keep yourself emotionally safe. And when I say that, I mean you don't have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together after you've talked with him. So you cut back the relationship to whatever point you need to maintain that, but also leave the possibility for reconciliation open and moving forward. I want to thank you for the question, Danny. And again, there are some things you can really do that could be helpful to extending the invitation for reconciliation. But I also want you to keep in mind that it is not your job to make the relationship work entirely on your own. Pray through what that would look like. If you need more support, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. We'd be happy to talk through next steps. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Same Old Song, as we talk about those repetitive arguments, those disagreements that are hard to get past with your spouse, with your kids, whether those are young kids and you're arguing about rules, or older adult kids and you're arguing about the choices they've made or how they've left the church or left behind the values you've tried to convey to them. Whether that's a parent you're arguing with, or a family member, or you name it. You know, we all have people in our life that we clash with, and we would like to be able to figure out how to get past that. Well, let us help you walk through those next steps. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's also an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. He's going to be sharing some insights that he shares with his clients about moving past those repetitive arguments. Stick around for that and a whole lot more with your questions when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the same old song as we talk about those repetitive arguments that we all get into with people we care about and are hard to get past. We want to help you find those next steps toward seeking peace. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, when you work with clients who are stuck in these repetitive arguments, either in their marriage or family life, what are some things that you share with them to help them get past it?
Well, I'll share two thoughts. One is sort of a broader angle or perspective mindset that people can take, and the other is a kind of more practical step. The broader mindset I think it's important to address, though, is, and you guys talk about this all the time, but I think it bears repeating, the idea that, you know, I'll talk to clients often who say, yeah, Jacob, we'll use all these skills that you teach us, but at the end of the day, someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong, or someone's going to get their way and the other person's not going to get their way. And I just want to emphasize, and I do mean this as respectfully as I can, but I just want to emphasize that is just not actually how adults handle conflict, right? I understand that there are probably adults you know, and maybe you're an adult like this listener right now who handles conflict this way. This is actually just not how emotionally mature adults handle conflict. That's how kids handle conflict.
But a lot of us have never been taught those skills past being in childhood, but they can be learned, can't they?
Yes. And I think it's important to emphasize the way mature adult conflict is handled is that I come to the conversation saying, here's my need and here's my want, i.e., this is the thing that I desire, this is the thing I'm needing, I'm longing for, whatever that is, and then this is the way I want to execute it. I'm married to the need. I'm not necessarily married to the execution. And the other person is willing to come in the same way. And you both work out together as partners the best way to meet both of your needs, right? Now, it might be that you don't get to execute your need, act on it the way that you had initially planned. It might be that your partner doesn't. But it will ultimately, and it should ultimately be, that both of your needs do still get met in some way. And so the conversation doesn't become a tug of war between who's going to get their need met, me or you. The conversation becomes a collaborative, creative one where we both put our heads together and say, on my own, I might meet my need this way. And on your own, you might meet your need that way. But together, let's come up with some creative third option that will somehow get both of our needs met in ways that we could not have thought of on our own. right? That collaborative spirit is really what defines emotionally mature adult communication, whether it's between a parent and their adult kid, whether it's between business partners, whether it's between married persons. Right?
And just to make the connection, that's an example of that mutually self-giving love that St. John Paul talks about. That's how we live that out in our relationships, by really looking, you know, protecting what it is that we want and what it is that is important to us, but doing it in a way that is generous to the other person's needs as well.
Yeah, I love that. It's a perfect summation. And I think one way that I invite listeners to practice this today, very simply, is to be able to practice a skill I jokingly call repeating the pizza order, which just means that before you offer a response, before you rush to react to what your partner has just said, in a posture of humility, say, I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So let me repeat what I heard you say. What I heard you say was blank, blank, and blank, right? What that does is it slows down the spiral of the conversation from being just two people kind of reacting to each other, laying down one Uno card on top of the other person's Uno card, and instead allows you to recap what you've just heard in a way that allows them to clarify if you've somehow misunderstood it. And if they can do the same thing, if you can sort of gently but firmly require them to do the same thing, suddenly we're pumping the brakes on what could be a runaway bus, and we're instead really pausing to hear each other, allowing that creative spirit that you're referencing, J.P. Tewitt, to really flow.
Yeah, and you know, it's a classic suggestion, but it's one that we always forget. And the more we can practice it and internalize it, the more successful our conflicts tend to be. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I invite them to come on over to CatholicCounselors.com to check out all the resources we have. And folks, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about repetitive conflicts and disagreements.
What is the origin of marriage? The Catholic Catechism tells us God the Father instituted the marital union with our first parents, Adam and Eve. He clearly established it as a covenant between a man and a woman when he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of his people's hearts. But when Jesus came, he restored the original order as planned by his Father. He declared that a true marriage was indissoluble. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The Church attaches great importance to the fact that Jesus' first miracle occurred at a wedding, signaling that henceforth marriage will be an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you ever feel like you're working hard as a parent, but you're just not sure any of it's getting through? Believe me, I get it. But here's what God taught me about being a mom. The moments that form our children's hearts aren't the big speeches or the perfect discipline strategies. They're the small, daily rituals of connection, the bedtime prayers, the conversations at dinner, the way you show up for them even when you're exhausted. In our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, Greg and I share the simple habits that help our family and thousands of others build the kind of closeness that makes parenting feel less like a battle and more like the blessing God intended it to be. Discover how to make all the little moments count. Pick up your copy of Parenting Your Kids with Grace and get the expert coaching you need by subscribing to the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic, H-O-M.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled The Same Old Song. As we talk about those repetitive conflicts, disagreements, arguments that we tend to have with the people in our life that, you know, we, in most cases, kind of are able to avoid them. You know, we know they're there, but we just sort of tiptoe around them. And then there are other conflicts that start to color the entire relationship, either because we can't talk to that person without the issue coming up, or we don't talk to that person for fear of that issue coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the fruit, the bad fruit that conflict is bearing in your relationships, we're going to help you identify those next steps toward healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And tell us, who are you struggling with? And let us help you find those next steps toward building peace. Before we take your next question, we want to celebrate Father Mitch Pacwa's birthday today.
We certainly do.
Yeah, what a great guy, and really such a, you know, such a figure on EWTN. He was ordained in 1976, began working with Mother Angelica in 1984, and after Mother Angelica had her stroke, he began to take over her programs in 2001, and you are, he's a regular fixture on EWTN television and radio.
Such wisdom and grace.
You know him, you love him, he's a great guy, and we wish him many, many happy returns of the day. Father Mitch Pacwa,
happy birthday
to you. And with that, we are taking your questions at 877-573-7825, talking about conflict.
We have a question that came in from Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona. She said, every time my grown daughter visits, we fall into the same argument. She says, I'm judging her choices. I say, I'm only trying to help, and she leaves early. I love her, and I miss her, and I don't understand how the two of us, who used to be so close, can't get through a single afternoon anymore without blowing up in the same way every time. I don't even know which one of us starts it. Is there a way to stop the cycle when I can't tell where it begins? And I'm afraid that if I push too hard, she'll just stop coming at all. And that's from Marie in Arizona.
Marie, thank you so much for the question. You know, and this, again, is a very common issue. A lot of parents of adult kids. In fact, I would say that this is almost a necessary stage of what we call individuation, where the child separates from the parent. And I think that it's there. There are different degrees of success with which parents can navigate these things with adult kids. But it all comes down to doing much more listening than talking, unfortunately.
Which is really, really hard, because we've spent our entire lives, as parents, making sure that they learn from us, that they don't make whoppingly bad mistakes. You know, it starts when they're little, and we don't let them run into the street because we don't want them to get hit by a car. And it goes through life as we help them figure out how to study, how to pick good friends instead of friends that we find scary for their well-being, and on and on. And then suddenly, they're adults at various stages of development and self-efficacy, but we're not supposed to be able to protect them from that metaphorical car hitting them anymore. And that can be very scary for us. It can also be a very difficult cycle to break. And because they're trying to be independent, they take it very, very personally, and hence the arguments.
As parents, especially if we feel like our kids aren't living out the values that we taught them, or following the faith, making choices that we're concerned about, we feel like it's our responsibility to make them not do that thing, or make them stop doing that thing, or make them not go down that road. We have to trust that the lessons that we taught them are in there somewhere. and that our kids can find their way back to them if we give them some space. And that is a terrifying thought. But the more you try to force it, even unintentionally as you are, Marie, the worse things get, because our adult kids just feel criticized as opposed to supported. The most important thing you can do right now is really focus on asking questions and listening. Not have you thought about this? Not those kinds of questions.
It's so hard not to do.
But questions like, okay, tell me more about that. And how did you come to that? And, you know, I'd like to understand kind of what you're thinking there. And just to really help me understand what you're hoping will happen when you do that. Not, what are you hoping will happen when you do that? No, but genuine. The point is curiosity as opposed to condemnation. Even curiosity over concern, that's a harder one.
That's very, very hard. And that's especially true if, A, they're living a lifestyle that you know could really harm them in some way, or B, it's about the person they care about, and then suddenly you're judging their choice of, you know, the person they want to spend the rest of their life with, and that gets their defenses up right away.
But the most important goal that you should have right now, Marie, in your conversations with your daughter, is making it safe, making your daughter feel safe to tell you anything. Even the hard stuff, okay? And you want to be praying that whole time that she's talking. And if she challenges you, like if she gets defensive, because she might still expect you to be critical in what she considers critical. And so even when you're not, she might attack you, or she might say, well, you're just probably sitting there judging. At which point you want to, look, honey, I know that in the past, I've maybe come off as critical. I've never meant to. That's not been my intention. But I acknowledge that you feel that I've been critical of you, and that's not... And I'm really trying to change that. So I appreciate why you might be on edge, you might seem a little defensive, but I want you to understand that that's not my intention, and I'm really trying to change that right now, and I really just want to understand where you're coming from and get to know you better, kind of where you're at and what you're doing and why you're doing it, and really just understand things from your perspective. Now, that doesn't mean you can never say anything, but it means for right now you want to bite your tongue, because you've got an unhealthy dynamic that you need to undo. At some point where you feel her opening up to you, being less defensive around you, sticking around where you feel like she might actually be open to something, and that might be a ways off, so don't rush it. At that point, you can ask questions. And here are the kind of questions I want you to ask. Not, you know, what's wrong with you? Or... what were you thinking? But rather, so I understand, you know, you've shared with me that you're trying to do thus and such. Do you feel like the way you're going about it is really getting you there? Or are you, you know, are you feeling like you're getting stuck? You're asking questions from inside her perspective about whether her approach is really helping her meet her stated goals, not her meeting your goals. But her goals, right? And you can only do that by really backing off and listening first. And when you can ask those kinds of questions, the point isn't to change her mind. The point is to get her to think through what she's doing so she can be open then to additional feedback if what she's doing isn't working. But it's also giving you a chance to really see if what she's doing is working. It's a process. We have to trust, as I said earlier, that the lessons we gave our adult kids are in there somewhere, and they're just trying to find their way back to them. If we can be a safe place for them to open up to, and when the opportunity presents itself, ask questions that help them think through their own choices, that allows our kids to see us as a place of support, that we're not throwing our faith under the bus, or our values under the bus, but we're approaching those things in ways that allow our kids to be able to hear us.
Now, this can be a very difficult transition, especially if the way you parented through their childhood and teen years was about rules. If this was because I said so, or these are our rules, don't you dare step over them. You know, your time to be in at night is at X, and if you're 5 minutes late, then these are the consequences. No conversation. Don't even want to know why you were late. You just broke the rule. That is a way that a lot of people keep order in their home for all those years. but you don't have that ability to affect anything like that when they are full-grown adults. It's one of the reasons that we often talk about let's not just set limits without having real conversation, real discipleship of our children, because it runs out as they get older, and it ends up really causing this kind of rift in the relationship. So if you're having a hard time moving from that kind of conversation, where, you know, you are the parent, this is the way it is, to really being reflective and curious, the way Greg's talking about, you're going to need a little bit of professional help in figuring out that new language so that you can build this relationship that you want so much with your daughter. It's not about getting back to who you were together, because that may have been working great for you, looked great, felt great, but didn't really work for her. This is about building something new and learning that new language so you can be curious and be able to reflect some of this back to her as you grow that relationship. And if that is the case, then by all means, give us a call at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you move through this so that you can learn this and grow this relationship and disciple her well, but also have that closeness that you're longing for in her adult life.
All right. Thank you so much for the question, Marie. If there's more we can do to support you, as Lisa just mentioned, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We also talk about this in our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. That is also available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever you get your books.
Yeah.
Again, that's How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32.
And this is like bringing the hammer down, so let's really listen to this one. Let all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another.
Well, St. Paul's laying down kind of a high bar there.
He is. And I appreciate that he even puts in shouting, because we can give ourselves such a break. Oh, I'm not really bitter. Oh, I'm upset about this, but I'm not really furious or angry. But when it comes to shouting, a lot of folks get into this place, especially, you know, parents, as we were just talking about. And he's saying, no. Let's be kind to one another, compassionate and forgiving one another. That is a huge shift from the way the people he was speaking to were behaving, and that really means all of us.
Well, and, you know, if you are struggling with somebody in your life where you are saying, you know, that all sounds great in theory, but I'm not quite sure how to pull it off with them, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When More to Life continues, we'll be taking more of your calls on our show titled The Same Old Song, as we discuss those repetitive arguments and conflicts that are not quite so easy to get past. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. find Not Finished Yet in all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Same Old Song, as we talk about those times when we are stuck repeating the same old arguments again and again with somebody or several somebodies in our life. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about how to resolve those repetitive disagreements and get unstuck from those arguments that just keep poisoning everything. 877-573-7825.
Well, Teresa in Michigan is having an issue with her husband. She said, my husband and I have had the same fight about money for 11 years. He thinks I'm careless. I think he's controlling. And it always ends with one of us walking off before anything gets settled. We've tried a lot of different budgeting techniques, resources, apps, you name it. But the conflict keeps coming down to whether I should have spent as much as I did on whatever. I'm not irresponsible. There are just things we need. And the budgets he comes up with don't take into account what things actually cost. I try to tell him that. But he just says we need to make it work. I understand that we don't have an infinite supply of money, and I do try hard to use coupons and sales, but I don't know what to do when I'm in a store with a list of everything we need and I run out of the budget halfway through. We're going to have to talk about our expenses again next weekend, and I already know exactly how it's going to go. Is there anything I could do to try and prevent things from going down the same path? And that's from Teresa, who's listening in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa. And again, you know, money arguments are probably among the most common disputes that couples have, and they're never really about money. You know, they're about a lot of other emotional issues that get played out through money. And I think, as you point out in your message, that this is not about a skill deficit so much as it is an emotional issue that's preventing you from using the skills. And I don't have enough information to be able to pin down the specific emotional issues that are in play here, but I can pick up at least this by reading between the lines. You guys are falling into a common pattern of blaming and shoulds instead of dealing with the reality of your circumstances, right? So what I mean by that is that the shoulds are, you know, he sort of says, you know, well, you should be able to work within the budget I give you. And you say, well, you, husband, should consider the, you know, how things actually, what things actually cost. And neither of you is actually really sitting down and dealing with the reality of it. You know, there's this presumption that he should be able to just, you know, find more money and you should be able to just use what you've got. And nobody's really talking about what things actually cost and what that means that you have the ability to spend on. And so being able to come together and really look, this is not about me needing to spend less or you needing to make more or me just needing to live within a certain particular budget. It's a question of, this is how much money we've got and these are the things that we need. How can we work together to figure out what we really need, what we need to cut back on, what we can spend on, what we can't spend on. Don't just give me a number. I need you to walk through this with me. And so I'm in the middle of the store with a list of stuff that I think we need, and we run out of budget. What am I supposed to do? Like, help me figure this out. Let's talk through this together. Because when you're,
you know, when you're both trying to handle this on your own, I don't think either one of you really wants to deal with this. And so you're only halfway in, you know, and because you're really only halfway in, you're not working through it together. Each one of you just wants to do as much as you can to say, well, I did something with it, but now I'm going to just offload the rest of the responsibility onto them.
No, and honestly, now figuring this out in terms of that shopping experience is easier than ever. You know, go online and put everything into, you know, the supermarket you find is the best place to shop, and don't hit, you know, purchase, but go through that together. Look at that total together, and that will open that conversation to what do we really need? What can we change? This is what, as you were saying, things really cost, instead of you coming home and having just, in his mind, overspent. So you want to be able to start sharing this conversation in a way that doesn't make you both run off and just not talk.
Thanks for the question, Teresa. If there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. And this might be a counseling issue, so if you're struggling, then don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But start with the suggestions we've made here.
Let's talk now with Benjamin, who's listening in Virginia.
Benjamin, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Yes, my question is, how can you forgive somebody when they tell you a lie, and you know they're lying, and they want you to forgive them? It's like, I asked them what happened. They told me this big story. And then after they told me the big story, they said, no, all that was a lie. But you need to forgive me.
Okay, and it says here on our board, Benjamin, that this involves your wife who was unfaithful to you, just so we are clear on how intense this is for you.
Yes.
Okay. So what does forgiveness mean to her? What would you forgiving her mean?
It's like she wants me to forgive her without her telling me the truth and just move forward like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's not possible. So let's talk about what forgiveness means, okay? Forgiveness means wanting the good for the other person. I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me. But that doesn't necessarily, when I say that, I mean, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to seek revenge against you for having hurt me. But I have every right to require you to do things to prove to me that you're genuinely sorry. And one of the things about people who cheat, this is almost 100% true, that they're terrible at conflict. They hate dealing with conflict. They hate expressing their needs. They don't do well with emotions. They want to just sort of move on, which makes it very hard for them to accept the responsibility for what they did, because then that just leads to more conflict, right? And so, in her mind, you know, forgiveness means pretending this never happened and then just moving on. But that's actually the problem, because as long as she doesn't learn how to deal directly with conflict and emotions and needs, you can't trust her. Because what happens is the person who cheats, they're a person who doesn't deal well with conflict, and so they stuff a lot of things, and then they get depressed. And then they find somebody that makes them laugh or makes them feel better about themselves. And they end up using that relationship as a way of self-medicating for an undiagnosed depression. And as long as that personality trait exists, that I'm afraid of conflict, that I don't deal well with emotions, that I don't deal well with conflict and you know, advocating for myself, the temptation's always going to be there, because I'm going to keep stuffing, and that's going to lead to the depression that's going to make me seek out other comforts. And so you can forgive her and say, look, I appreciate that you want to make this work, but it's going to take work, and I can't just pretend that nothing happened. We're going to need to go seek some help to learn how to deal with conflict directly and to talk to each other honestly and feel like it's safe to be open with each other in ways that it was never safe before. And we're going to need to do that work, and that's part of my forgiving you. And she's not going to think that's forgiveness. She thinks forgiveness means letting her off scot-free. But forgiveness means I'm not going to seek revenge for what you did to me, but I am going to hold you accountable, because I want your healing. I want you to be your best self, and I can't let that happen. I can't help you be your best self, and I can't help us be our best selves unless we learn from this. And that's going to mean doing a lot of work that you might not want to do. So, Benjamin, forgiving her doesn't mean pretending nothing happened. Forgiving her means, yes, you're not going to take it out on her. You're not going to, you know, lash out at her for having hurt you this way. But you are going to require her to do some real work to heal. And she's not going to want to do any of it. That's part of the problem. But holding her accountable for that isn't a lack of forgiveness. That's actually working for her good. That's what love is. Love means working for the ultimate good of another person. Sometimes even when they'd rather you not. So if there's more that we can do to support you in this healing journey, Benjamin, I hope that you and your wife can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about faithful ways to reconcile after infidelity. But either way, I'd like you to download the podcast and play our response for your wife and really talk through together what your reactions are to what we're saying and how you're going to move forward based on the advice that we've given you here. Let this conversation be a springboard for further discussion.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.